appreciate that. That was lovely singing tonight. Really blessed my heart. If I offended you, Cassidy and Ticharo, by catching you off guard, forgive me. But I wouldn't say put you on the spot, because the Bible says that a man should be ready always to give a reason of the hope that is within him. Next time, if you are caught off guard, just get up and just thank the Lord for saving your soul and what he has done for you. I caught you off guard. Cassidy, you look like you've been sparing today. Well, you look tired. Kashari just got in today. However, I call those names because I know they take part in the meeting a lot. But however, if you're offended, those, please forgive me. Tonight, boys and girls, I've selected four things in our little bag because object lessons are good, and as well as just straight Bible teachings. We like variation, like Ross says, tonight, a little change, you know. And the first thing I have in the bag is a, you would call it a strainer, but it's a form of sieve. A sieve is something where you want to strain, you can let the good out and keep the bad in. Wonderful thing about a sieve or a strainer is you could also keep the good in and let the bad out. It's amazing, isn't it? The same tool used for, you know, two different purposes. Well, the Lord Jesus said in Luke 22 and verse 31, it said, "Then the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold," he said it twice. That was really compassion on his part. "Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when you're restored, strengthen your brethren." Beautiful passage indeed. And do not think for a moment that the devil doesn't want to sift your life and strain all the good out of you, okay? That's what he wants to do and produce the bad. But that's what the Lord had in mind with Peter. That's why he told Peter that. And Peter said, "Lord, will you go? I'm going to go. Will you? If you die, I will die with you." And it's a real sad thing. Just a few days later, a little girl said, "I know you. You're one of his disciples." Remember? Three times Jesus said he was going to deny him, and then the rooster would crow. And then when he heard that rooster, he was so convicted. And you know what happened? The Lord Jesus looked at him, and he looked at the Lord. It must have been a very, very touching scene. The Lord didn't look at him, with anger. But he looked at him with compassion. And can you imagine the mighty Peter, the man who was as bold as he was, and yet he denied the Lord three times. "I prayed for you, Peter." I'm glad that we have the Lord Jesus in heaven who's still praying for us, aren't you? He's praying. Sometimes you do not feel like praying because maybe you had your testings, you've been discouraged, and you just didn't feel like praying. But the Lord's praying for you, you see? Now I have something else because I realize that time is very precious here tonight. You know what this is, don't you? Okay, and that's a sponge. I know you're intelligent enough to know that, sure. A sponge is also a good thing. We use it to clean things with. But one thing about the sponge I want to bring to your attention, it's like a lot of us. It'll suck up water, but won't give any. If you didn't squeeze it, you have to squeeze it in order to get anything out of it, right? And that's the thing about a sponge. It's much like me, you know. So what is the lesson there then? To receive. Christmas is here, right? All of the children are looking for the time when they're going to receive things. I was telling them down in the schoolyard tonight. I don't know how many of you were there. I had to leave because of the meeting tonight, naturally. And the lady wanted to know about my boyhood days. I said, "You don't have time to hear all of that." But I tell you, I had Coca-Cola bottles for my toys, you know, and we'd go to the back of a shop. We could find them. We'd take them. I'd have about 12 of them, tie string around the neck of the bottle, and I would go out and in the garden, then I'd bring them back at night, pretending that they were cows. They were my toys. Now, I told you that before, so I know. And when Papa said to me one night, said, in fact, for a few Christmases, I can remember, "Don't put your stockings up. I don't have anything to give you. Please don't put your stockings up." But I, being the greedy one of the family, I put up a pillowcase. That's right. I never put a stocking up in my life, always a pillowcase. I, man, always wanted to receive, you see. And you know what? Papa, somehow or the other, he put another apple one morning when I got up at Christmas time. And I want to tell you, Brother Ross, I had tears in my eyes with joy because I couldn't tell you when I'd seen another apple. That was my Christmas present. Nothing else, but that apple meant so much to me. But you know, through the years, Jesus said, it is more blessed to what? Give. Don't be like the sponge. Suck up everything and keep it to the sponge or keep it to yourself. Giving gives you pleasure. That's what Christmas is all about. Let me ask you something. Do you know someone that doesn't have anything and can't give you anything back? Think about that. And think of, well, maybe, Mommy, I can give them some of my toys that I've had last year. I've got so many toys. In fact, when I go into rooms with my grandchildren, they don't know what's going through my mind. Pretty soon you're going to have to build another house just for the toys. I'm not kidding, man. I'm not kidding. One room stashed with all kinds of toys. No room, even in that room for the toys of a child. Oh, let's just keep that in mind. Think of somebody this Christmas. Well, I'm going to part with some of my toys. I'm going to give my toys to somebody that can't give me anything in return. And the Lord is going to bless you real good, like Dr. Billy Graham says. See? So the sponge, you could be like the sponge. You could suck up everything and not give anything out. And it's not good. Okay, I have something else here. I hear some people sometimes say about, I read the Bible, Mr. Perry, but I don't understand a lot of it. Now, believe it or not, you'll never see this before. Maybe you'll never see it again. It's a fried turbot. I had two for my lunch and I had two for... I'm still got them swimming down here now. I ate them just before church. And I'm going to eat them when I get home, Lord willing. I like fish so much, like Brother Tom. I don't even want to wash my mouth and hands. I like to smell the stay on me for an hour or so. Now, I'm only kidding. That's not true. All right? But, you know, the Bible is like this fish. You don't understand everything. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you like fish. But all of those who like fish, if we eat fish, and we like fish very much, What do we do? Do we eat the bones? No. Well, we eat the good part, that is the part that we can eat. But suppose you looked at the fish and say, I'm not going to eat that fish. I like fish a lot too, because it's got bones in it. Now, a lot of people here do that today in Spanish World. Years ago, it was not so. But however, yeah, are you going to give up all that nice, luscious, juicy fish, smothered in herbs and salted down with a little sour? I'm getting hungry already. And you're going to give all that up because it's got bones in it? Same way with the Bible. You don't understand everything in the Bible. But you enjoy what you do understand, you see? And you don't give up the Bible because, boy, that's hard. I don't know what that means. You go and read and read and enjoy what you do understand. In fact, what I don't understand in the Bible is not what bothers me. What really bothers me sometimes is what I know and what I understand. But then, the more you read, the stronger you will be, the spiritually healthier you will be, you will grow in the Lord. Because the Bible, a lot of verses about the Word of God. All right? And this Christmas time, of all of the fun and lovely time you're going to have, just keep in mind, the Word of God is still the most precious thing. We wouldn't know about the babe being born in Bethlehem and born in a stable and placed in a manger. We wouldn't know the wonderful story of the cross, would we, had it not been for the Word of God. The Word is so precious. And one more for the last. You know what this is? All right, if you know, you could tell me. Take a guess. Very good. Very good. They call it an hourglass. Now, unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately. This is just a two-minute one. You turn it up. If you want to cook an egg for just 2 minutes, you time it. See, it's a timer. And when it runs out, it's 2 minutes. Now, believe it or not, we use this. We play games sometimes up in Mr. Morton's house. And Mr. Morton takes too much time. He's supposed to answer within 2 minutes. So that's why we bought this hourglass. I let you in a little secret. So do I. All right? I go over time as well. It's not fair. So that's why they bought this little so-called glass. So it's a timer. But you know what it is? talking about time. Life is about time. One of these days, our life is going to ebb out like that sand in that hourglass and going to be finished. And time for us on earth will be no more. There are a lot of lessons in the time, of the timing. But I like the one in Galatians chapter 4 because we're in the Christmas season, and let me read it for you. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. At the fullness of time, at the right time, God sent his son into the world. And God, like I said the other night, he is never in a hurry and he's never late. When he was born, the time 2,000 years ago, even though they had a wicked king named Herod, who killed all of those baby boys from 2 years of age and under. There were terrible times, but yet it was the right time. God sent him into the world at that particular time. That's what that verse is all about. You see, God knows what he is doing. And I'm so glad 2,000 years later, here we are in the Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel here in this little island, blessed by the Lord because he sent Christ into the world, not to condemn you, not to send you to hell, not to crush you, not to turn you aside, not to put you behind his back, not to stomp on you. No, he came into the world and he gave his love for you by giving his son that you might be saved, that you may be a child of his. You know, I tell a few stories and maybe a couple of minutes. Mr. Max Lucado, by the way, one of Roddy's favorites as well in his mind. If you get any books on him, you read it, you'll be blessed. In fact, he's on TV this week and TBN. And he gave a story last night that really melted my heart. And the story, you probably heard it, some of you, was about a man who tried to save his mommy and daddy. The house was on fire. And in his effort, he failed because his mother and daddy were burned to death. And his face and body was burned as well. But his face was so disfigured and burned that he never came out of his room anymore. And he felt guilty that he felt responsible for the death of his mommy and daddy. And his wife pled with him. She said, "Dear, why don't you go to a plastic surgeon? Those are the fellas who could help fix up your face. You know, doctors can do a lot of wonderful things today with the body that way." And he wouldn't even hear of it. And after quite a while, long time, she got so upset, his wife, that is, she went to the plastic surgeon and she went there and she said, and she told him a story about her husband. He said, "Oh my." He said, "Well, what can I do for him?" Said, "Oh, he won't see you. He won't even subject himself to an operation. He will not even come out of his room." "The doctor, you don't know what I'm going through." He said, "If that be the case," the doctor said, "why have you come to me?" And she said, I want you to disfigure my face to make my face look like my husband's, so that he won't feel bad and that we'll be able to talk more and he'll feel comfortable. Doctor, I want to identify myself with my husband. I want to be just like him." The doctor was shocked by that. He never had nobody ever make a request like that in his life. He said, "I got to see your husband." He said, "He won't talk to you." But you know, the doctor, the good doctor, went to the house and he knocked on the man's bedroom door and he called his name. He said, "Go away." He said, I don't want to see anybody." He said, "But I need to talk to you." "But I don't want to talk to you. Go away, go away." He said, "Let's call him Mr. Brown," because no name was given. The doctor said, "Mr. Brown, what I want to tell you is that your wife came to my office yesterday. And she wants me," he said, "I'm a plastic surgeon. She wants me to disfigure her face so that she'll be just like you, and her face will be like yours." There was silence. Then all of a sudden, the doorknob quietly, slowly opened. And he opened the door, and there was that poor man with his face so disfigured. And he said, "You mean my wife loves me that much that she'd want to be disfigured just like me?" And the doctor told him, "Yes. But you know what I'm getting at, don't you? The Lord Jesus left heaven's glory, the dear Son of God. He came down to this earth in a body, babe of Bethlehem's manger, in the fullness of time. And we were wrecked and marred in our sin. We're disfigured by sin." And the Bible says when Jesus was crucified, he said his visage was what? Was so marred, more than any man. Can you imagine the God of heaven sending his Son to look just like us, apart from sin, because our sin was on him now. And we were all crooked. We were marred and we were warped. We were disfigured. We were sinful. And Jesus took our sin upon him. He never sinned, never had sin in his life. And he became disfigured, physically speaking. Nobody knows what happened to him inside. His heart was broken more than once. All the sadness in the life of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And so he identified himself with us. And that was the only way he could show us that he loved us. Shall we pray? Your heads bowed, and there are Christians here tonight. And maybe you're saying, "I'm like Peter. I've sort of drifted away from the Lord." We want you to come back. And he wants you. He stands with open arms to receive you. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody here tonight and you're not saved. And remember, the Lord Jesus died in your place. Turn your life over to him, your heart over to him. And this Christmas will be one of the brightest. I said the other evening, I repeat, never apologize for it. I was saved in the month of November. And boy, I want to tell you, it was the first beautiful Christmas I've ever enjoyed. It was different. The trees looked greener. People even looked better. They even were kinder. Everybody was different. I mean, everything in the world was different. When I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, young people, God bless you. I don't care what you do in life. I don't care where you go in life. When I say what you do, I mean in work or you become a doctor, lawyer, or whatever. I don't mean living in sin. I want you to know something. That there's absolutely no satisfaction in anything in the world like the satisfaction of following and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. And you'll never be totally satisfied. God be pleased to bless this congregation today. Bless our young people. Remember those who are not saved and remember those who are. Bless this service. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the children partaking in the quiz. And for studying their Bibles, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. In the Savior's precious name, amen.